This is the reading for November 4th, Daniel chapter 5. King Belshazzar gave a big banquet for 1,000 royal guests and drank wine with them. As Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver cups that his ancestor Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. This was so the king, his royal guests, his wives, and his slave women could drink from those cups. So they brought the gold cups that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his royal guests, his wives, and his slave women drank from them. As they were drinking, they praised their gods, which were made from gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a person's hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. King Belshazzar was very frightened. His face turned white, his knees knocked together, and he could not stand up because his legs were too weak. The king called for the magicians, wise men, and wizards of Babylon and said to them, "Anyone who can read this writing and explain it will receive purple clothes fit for a king and a gold chain around his neck, and I will make that person the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. King Belshazzar became even more afraid, and his face became even whiter. His royal guests were confused. Then the king's mother, who had heard the voices of the king and his royal guests, came into the banquet room. She said, "O king, live forever. Don't be afraid or let your face be white with fear. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, this man showed understanding, knowledge, and wisdom like the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, put this man in charge of all the wise men, fortune tellers, magicians, and wizards. The man I am talking about is named Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. He was very smart and had knowledge and understanding. He could explain dreams and secrets and could answer very hard problems. Call for Daniel. He will tell you what the writing on the wall means." So they brought Daniel to the king, and the king asked, "Is your name Daniel? Are you one of the captives my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you are very smart and have knowledge and extraordinary understanding. The wise men and magicians were brought to me to read this writing and to explain what it means, but they could not explain it. I have heard that you are able to explain what things mean and can find the answer to hard problems. Read this writing on the wall and explain it to me. If you can, I will give you purple clothes fit for a king and a gold chain to wear around your neck, and you will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself, or you may give those rewards to someone else. But I will read the writing on the wall for you and will explain to you what it means. O king, the Most High God made your father Nebuchadnezzar a great, important, and powerful king. Because God made him important, all the people, nations, and those who spoke every language were very frightened of Nebuchadnezzar. If he wanted someone to die, he killed that person. If he wanted someone to live, he let that person live. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. Those he wanted to be less important, he made less important. But Nebuchadnezzar became too proud and stubborn, so he was taken off his royal throne. His glory was taken away. He was forced away from people, and his mind became like the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and was fed grass like an ox and became wet with dew. These things happened to him until he learned his lesson. The Most High God rules over every kingdom on earth, and he sets anyone he chooses over those kingdoms. Belshazzar, you already knew these things because you are a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Still, you have not been sorry for what you have done. Instead, you have set yourself against the Lord of heaven. You ordered the drinking cups from the temple of the Lord to be brought to you. Then you and your royal guests, your wives, and your slave women drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone that are not really gods. They cannot see or hear or understand anything. You did not honor God, who has power over your life and everything you do. So God sent the hand that wrote on the wall. These are the words that were written on the wall. Mene, Mene, Tikal, and Parson. This is what the words mean. Mene, God has counted the days until your kingdom will end. Tikal, you have been weighed on the scales and found not good enough. Parson, your kingdom is being divided and will be given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave an order for Daniel to be dressed in purple clothes and to have a gold chain put around his neck. And it was announced that Daniel was the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very same night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonian people, was killed. So Darius the Mede became the new king when he was 62 years old. Daniel chapter 6. Darius thought it would be a good idea to choose 120 governors who would rule his kingdom. He chose three men as supervisors over those governors, and Daniel was one of the supervisors. The supervisors were to ensure that the governors did not try to cheat the king. Daniel showed that he could do the work better than the other supervisors and governors. So the king planned to put Daniel in charge of the whole kingdom. Because of this, the other supervisors and governors tried to find reasons to accuse Daniel about his work in the government. But they could not find anything wrong with him or any reason to accuse him because he was trustworthy and not lazy or dishonest. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any reason to accuse Daniel unless it is about the law of his God." So the supervisors and governors went as a group to the king and said, "King Darius, live forever." The supervisors, assistant governors, governors, the people who advise you, and the captains of the soldiers have all agreed that you should make a new law for everyone to obey. For the next 30 days, no one should pray to any god or human except to you, O king. Anyone who doesn't obey will be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, make the law and sign your name to it so that it cannot be changed, because then it will be a law of the Medes and Persians and cannot be canceled. So King Darius signed the law. Even though Daniel knew that the new law had been written, he went to pray in an upstairs room in his house, which had windows that opened toward Jerusalem. Three times each day, Daniel would kneel down to pray and thank God, just as he always had done. Then those men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and talked to him about the law he had made. They said, "Didn't you sign a law that says no one may pray to any god or human except you, O king? Doesn't it say that anyone who disobeys during the next 30 days will be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "Yes, that is the law, and the laws of the Medes and Persians cannot be canceled." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is not paying attention to you, O king, or to the law you signed." Daniel still prays to his God three times every day. The king became very upset when he heard this. He wanted to save Daniel, and he worked hard until sunset trying to think of a way to save him. Then those men went as a group to the king. They said, "Remember, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians says that no law or command given by the king can be changed." So King Darius gave the order, and Daniel was brought in and thrown into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May the God you serve all the time save you." A big stone was brought and placed over the opening of the lion's den. Then the king used his signet ring and the rings of his royal officers to put seals on the rocks. This ensured that no one would move the rock and bring Daniel out. Then King Darius went back to his palace. He did not eat that night, he did not have any entertainment brought to him, and he could not sleep. The next morning, King Darius got up at dawn and hurried to the lion's den. As he came near the den, he was worried. He called out to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God that you always worship been able to save you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel to close the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me because my God knows I am innocent. I never did anything wrong to you, O king." King Darius was very happy and told his servants to lift Daniel out of the lion's den. So they lifted him out and did not find any injury on him because Daniel had trusted in his God. Then the king commanded that the men who had accused Daniel be brought to the lion's den. They, their wives, and their children were thrown into the den. The lions grabbed them before they hit the floor of the den and crushed their bones. Then King Darius wrote a letter to all people and all nations, to those who spoke every language in the world. I wish you great peace and wealth. I am making a new law for people in every part of my kingdom. All of you must fear and respect the God of Daniel. Daniel's God is the living God. He lives forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. God rescues and saves people and does mighty miracles in heaven and on earth. He is the one who saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel was successful during the time Darius was king, and when Cyrus the Persian was king.
Chapter 10.
Moses' teachings, with their yearly cycle of sacrifices, are only a shadow of the good things in the future. They aren't an exact likeness of those things. They can never make those who worship perfect. If these sacrifices could have made the worshipers perfect, the sacrifices would have stopped long ago. Those who worship would have been cleansed once and for all. Their consciences would have been free from sin. Instead, this yearly cycle of sacrifices reminded people of their sins. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. For this reason, when Christ came into the world, he said, "You did not want sacrifices and offerings, but you prepared a body for me. You did not approve of burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Then I said, 'I have come. It is written about me in the scroll of the book. I have come to do what you want, my God.'" In this passage, Christ first said, "You did not want sacrifices, offerings, burnt offerings, and sacrifices for sin. You did not approve of them. These are the sacrifices that Moses' teachings require people to offer." Then Christ says, "I have come to do what you want." He did away with sacrifices in order to establish the obedience that God wants. We have been set apart as holy because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do by sacrificing his body once and for all. Every day, each priest performed his religious duty. He offered the same type of sacrifice again and again, yet these sacrifices could never take away sins. However, this chief priest made one sacrifice for sins, and this sacrifice lasts forever. Then he received the highest position in heaven. Since that time, he's been waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. With one sacrifice, he accomplished the work of setting them apart for God forever. The Holy Spirit tells us the same thing. "This is the promise that I will make to them after those days," says the Lord. "I will put my teachings in their hearts and write them in their minds." Then he adds, "I will no longer hold their sins and their disobedience against them." When sins are forgiven, there is no longer any need to sacrifice for sins. Brothers and sisters, because of the blood of Jesus, we can now confidently go into the holy place. Jesus has opened a new and living way for us to go through the curtain. The curtain is his own body. We have a superior priest in charge of God's house. We have been sprinkled with his blood to free us from a guilty conscience, and our bodies have been washed with clean water. So we must continue to come to him with a sincere heart and strong faith. We must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. We must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and to do good things. We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. If we go on sinning after we've learned the truth, no sacrifice can take away our sins. All that is left is a terrifying wait for judgment and a raging fire that will consume God's enemies. If two or three witnesses accused someone of rejecting Moses' teachings, that person was shown no mercy as he was executed. What do you think a person who shows no respect for the Son of God deserves? That person looks at the blood of the promise, the blood that made him holy, as no different from other people's blood, and he insults the spirit that God gave us out of his kindness. He deserves a much worse punishment. We know the God who said, "I alone have the right to take revenge. I will pay back. God also said, the Lord will judge his people. Falling into the hands of the living God is a terrifying thing. Remember the past, when you first learned the truth. You endured a lot of hardship and pain. At times, you were publicly insulted and mistreated. At times, you associated with people who were treated this way. You suffered with prisoners. You were cheerful, even though your possessions were stolen. Since you know that you have a better and more permanent possession, so don't lose your confidence. It will bring you a great reward. You need endurance so that after you've done what God wants you to do, you can receive what He has promised. Yet the one who is coming will come soon. He will not delay. The person who has God's approval will live because of faith. But if he turns back, I will not be pleased with him. We don't belong with those who turn back and are destroyed. Instead, we belong with those who have faith and are saved.